Welcome to Genuine Life Recovery. We're here to help you and your loved ones overcome addictions and other addiction-related mental health challenges. In this show, we dive into the physical, emotional, psychological, and spiritual aspects of addiction, mental health, recovery, family dynamics, codependency, and more. You can listen on your favorite app or at jodystevens.org. Genuine Life Recovery is made possible by great friends like Joshua's Heart, in memory of Joshua Brent Moore, bringing hope, love, and awareness to those afflicted by addiction, online at joshasheart.org, and Jody Stevens Productions for commercial voiceover, narration, production, MC, and public speaking, online at jodystevens.org. Hey friends, welcome to Genuine Life Recovery, Pathways to Healing, Exploring Medication-Assisted Treatment in Addiction Recovery. This is episode 131. I can't believe it. I can't believe I've done that many episodes. That's a lot. So today I want to cover just one aspect of recovery, and that's medication-assisted treatment, what it is, pros and cons. We're going to talk about how it works in the brain. We're going to talk about the different medications, what they do, what they are, and why they're effective in addiction. So this is a controversial topic. Some people don't believe in medication to treat addiction. They think it's replacing one medication with another. Here's the difference. The medications in medication-assisted treatment are designed to help people quit using. They're designed to help people experience less pain during the withdrawal, the detox process, and they're designed to target the same areas of the brain that the drugs do, but in a different way, and we'll talk about that. So, you know, I always tell people, look, if you're concerned and you don't believe in medication, but you're drinking alcoholically or you're doing opiates and things like that, that's certainly medication. And chances are you're trying to fix something up here with what you're doing or deal with some underlying trauma or stuff like that. So medication to treat addiction, it's just one avenue. It needs to be combined with other things to work effectively. You know, I'm not going to do this program and push medication. You know, I'm open to all different types of treatment, but this can work very well in conjunction with other things for many people, particularly people struggling with opiate addiction, heroin, fentanyl, things like that. There are many medications used for alcoholics and for alcohol, and my brother was on many of them during his journey to recovery. They don't work quite as good, okay? So let's get into it. So medication-assisted treatment, or MAT, as they call it, M-A-T, it's used to treat addictions or substance use disorders, as they call it in the clinical world, like opiates. These are all FDA-approved medications, obviously, things like methadone, buprenorphine, naltrexone, which is also used for weight loss. We'll talk about that. Again, in combination with counseling and behavioral therapies, this can be what's called a comprehensive approach. And again, these medications, they can reduce cravings and withdrawal. This helps people to focus on recovery without freaking out and jonesing and all that stuff, right? So, for instance, for alcohol addiction, there's stuff like acamprosate, disulfiram. And so acamprosate, this is also part of helping to reduce cravings. Disulfiram, my brother had to use this at one point. This blocks alcohol. So if alcohol is consumed, the individual has some really bad side effects. They get really sick, things like that, right? So if you're taking this, you know that if you drink, you're going to be vomiting and getting very sick. You may not want to take that. So that's just one of the types of reactions to these different types of medication. And we're going to get into that more about, you know, the different types like buprenorphine, naltrexone, things like that, and what they do. But let's look at the pros and cons. The pros are, like we said, reducing craving and withdrawal, because craving leads to withdrawal. And that is a significant barrier in recovery, particularly with opiate addiction. It's one of the most difficult withdrawals. It's not the most dangerous. Alcohol is the most dangerous, and benzos like Xanax and stuff that can actually kill you. The withdrawals, they're very dangerous. Opiates is dangerous. It's generally not deadly, but it's one of the worst ones. I won't get into why. It's particularly gross. But that's what I've heard. So obviously craving, so that's what these certain medications are designed to do, to help you with the cravings, to target areas of the brain that deal with cravings. People using medication-assisted treatment in the recovery process stay in recovery longer, right? Studies have shown increased retention, reducing the risk of relapse by blocking the effects of the drug, by targeting areas of the brain that deal with cravings. That is going to increase the likelihood of sustaining recovery, right? Obviously. The holistic treatment approach, medication-assisted treatment, if it's done well with counseling and working on triggers and helping people with some of the reasons why they're drinking and using, right? Behavioral therapies, groups, you know, maybe Alcoholics Anonymous, Celebrate Recovery, the Christian version. There's so many ways of getting support. But if we're not treating the... So remember that medication's treating the physical. If we're not treating the spiritual and the psychological, the medication's not going to work. And I think this is where people run into problems with replacing a drug for a drug and things like that. It's, again, I hate the word holistic. I don't know why. It just bugs me. But think of it as a whole. You know, there's mind, body, spirit. You know, we have to look at the whole person. And if you don't do that and you're just, you know, doing medication, that's just a little piece of the pie, right? People using medication-assisted treatment, it helps them to have more control over their recovery and their life because they're not jonesing all the time. It's helping them to move forward, to focus on their goals and things like that, to build relationships and stuff while this medication is stabilizing them during the process. And then with medication-assisted treatment, many forms of it, particularly like methadone and stuff, you do what's called titrating, meaning you slowly reduce the amount that you're taking until you can come off of it, stabilize your brain. The cons, some of these medications have a potential for dependency, right? Methadone and buprenorphine, they can lead to physical dependence if they're not used as prescribed, just like many things. And that's a problem, right? It works if you work it. You can abuse practically anything. So there are some people with opiate use disorder that are going to seek out these types of drugs. It's just, you know, it is what it is. Another con is just the whole stigma, the misunderstanding. People don't get how these drugs work. They don't understand it. And so they just say, oh, it's just replacing a drug for a drug. And so the misconception can discourage people from seeking treatment. And I get that. There is stigma around it. I guarantee you right now, if it was your son or daughter that was addicted to opiates and you were trying to save their life, you would do whatever you could. You would get rid of that stigma. It's just the way it is. You know, we're talking about trying to save people's life. So You know, when you look at it like that, it's just like harm reduction. I mean, I'm a super conservative Christian person, but there's certain things that I look at very differently, like harm reduction. Oh, don't give them free needles. Really? Because do you want them to get AIDS? You know, I mean, harm reduction, everything in moderation. But what if I gave somebody a free needle and they thought that I cared about them and it helped them get into recovery, right? So, you know, you could look at some of these medications as a type of harm reduction. If you're interested in ways to save people's life, you know, it's just like, what's the Narcan, you know, Narcan, I carry it with me, and Narcan reduces or blocks the opiate effect. And so if someone's ODing on the street, you give them Narcan, you're going to save their life. Oh, well, that's harm reduction. Yeah, but they're not dead. So now when they're alive, they have another chance at recovery. And like anything, you can take it way too far. And I get that. There's a line between harm reduction and just completely enabling. But anyway, I digress. So also some of the cons are going to be side effects, right? I don't know of any medication that doesn't have side effects. Obviously, it's another one is affordability. So I'll give you an example. Naltrexone is used for opiate, but it's also used for weight loss. So I was recently prescribed naltrexone Wellbutrin combination, right? And this is an opiate blocker. It's also Wellbutrin, which has the same thing that they, I can't think of it right now, but the same ingredient, for lack of a better word, that deals with smoking addiction and other addictions. So this combination blocks the, it targets the reward circuitry in the brain so that you don't want to like eat as much. So I haven't tried this yet. I was prescribed it because I'm going through menopause, there's weight gain, and this is supposed to help. The reason I tell you this is naltrexone is also used for opioid addiction. The other reason I'm telling you this is because of the affordability. It was not covered by insurance, and it's very expensive. So it is super sad that someone that maybe only has Medicaid, that is a, let's just say, a heroin addict, or you know, even worse, fentanyl, and they go to try to get this medication, and it's like $180 a month. So that is one of the cons. I think that's lame. And then also comorbidity, people that are having a comorbidity or co-occurring just basically means that we have addiction and we also have a mental health disorder. And that's pretty common. I don't actually know anyone struggling with addiction that doesn't have an underlying mental health issue, whether it's anxiety and depression or ADHD are some of the common ones. There can also be schizophrenia and bipolar, antisocial type stuff, you know, so things like that. Again, medication is going to treat this and the body to some degree, right? It's depending on what it's targeting. So that's what medication is going to do. It's not going to help the underlying mental health disorder unless we're working on a different medication, like an antidepressant and things like that, right? And we'll get into that. So again, it's going to be that holistic thing again, where, you know, if you're not looking at the underlying causes and you're not doing some therapy and things like that, the medication is going to only have a limited impact. Does that make sense? We want to look at the mental health of the individual, the living situation, the family history, all those sorts of things, so we can determine the best approach to go along with the medication-assisted treatment. So why is this helpful? So it's going to normalize our brain, right? Because addiction changes our brain, right? Particularly in the area of the reward pathway, this frontal lobe area. It impacts decision making. So certain medications can help normalize this part of the brain because it's targeting the same pathways that are responsible for addiction. So here's like a really sad example. Years ago, my brother was in a car accident and he ruptured his frontal lobe. Well, he already had problems with addiction. After the frontal lobe rupture, he came out of that accident almost worse, an addict than when he went in. And it, you know, at that point, nothing really worked. And as I've mentioned a million times, he did pass away in 2015. But this frontal lobe area is huge. And this is where we, this reward pathway targets areas like sex, like food, like survival, right? When it gets flooded with dopamine from the drugs, it does the same thing. That's why people do crazy things when they're an addict, because they actually believe they're going to die if they don't get that fix. So this is what these types of medications target. Okay, so for instance, methadone and buprenorphine, they act on the opiate receptors in the brain, reducing craving, restoring balance without the high and the euphoria. The other reason medications can be helpful, as we mentioned, cravings and withdrawal, right? Chronic drug and alcohol leads to, again, changes in the brain. So then when we stop, discontinue, like in alcohol, we can literally have seizures. So a lot of times we have, you know, people have to go into a medical detox. That's another form of medication-assisted treatment. You're going to put someone in detox because they could die if you don't. You can't just quit alcohol. That's what people don't understand. If you're a severe alcoholic, you could die. You have to get into detox. I mean, there are times when we had to give my brother alcohol so he wouldn't seizure out. People don't understand that. Like they just, oh, drugs are bad. Okay, well, some are and some aren't, you know. So again, reducing withdrawal, I think we understand that. You know, certain medications, they can mimic the effects of the substance, right? Opiate agonists, they can block the effects, or opiate antagonists, where they're reducing the drive to seek the drug. So we'll talk about that a little bit. Tolerance and withdrawal, right? Over time, we're going to develop a tolerance. And so certain medications can help with a tolerance because they're providing a stable dose of this medication, right, to help with the withdrawal and the cravings without that euphoria, right, without escalating the substance. Another benefit is this can be long-term maintenance. You know, addiction is typically characterized by cycles of remission and relapse. It's similar to things like diabetes. Medication-assisted treatment can be a long-term maintenance approach. It can help people sustain recovery over longer periods of time to help stabilize your brain. If you've been drinking alcoholically for 30 years, using heroin for, I mean, I met someone that had been using heroin since they were 14 and they were close to 60. I mean, your brain has adapted. It's going to take some long-term maintenance to, you know, to work on your recovery. There are some people that maybe always will need medication-assisted treatment. Again, this is not for everybody. This is just one piece of the pie. And as we mentioned, improved treatment outcomes. People getting help, the medication, tend to have better treatment outcomes. There's also a decrease in illicit drug use. That's going to be huge. Needle use, the dangers associated with that life. So those are just some of the ways medication-assisted treatment in the recovery process can be helpful. What about the types of medications? We covered some of this, right, for opiate use disorder. And that's going to be things like opiates, like, you know, heroin, like fentanyl, things like that. So methadone is a long-acting opiate agonist. So this reduces cravings, reduces withdrawal symptoms. We'll get into kind of how that works too. Buprenorphine, this is a partial opiate agonist. So it's similar to methadone, but there's a lower risk of dependence. So a lot of times people will come into treatment and they want to do buprenorphine as opposed to methadone because, again, lower risk of dependence and it's just less strong, right? Naltrexone, that's the one that they've also used for weight loss. This is an opiate antagonist. This blocks the effects of opioids. It also reduces cravings. For alcohol, a couple of them that we'd mention, disulfiram, this inhibits alcohol, the effects, leading to those unpleasant side effects, like feeling sick and things like that when you drink. Acamprosate, this works on the brain. This reduces cravings. This reduces withdrawal symptoms. They also use naltrexone for alcohol, blocking the effects of alcohol, also reducing cravings. So, you know, the stuff for alcohol for some reason isn't quite as effective as the stuff for opiate use disorder. I wish it was. So these are just a few. There's stuff for nicotine and stimulants. So there's a lot of different medications. So I'm just kind of touching on a few. How do they work? So as we mentioned, the opiate agonists like methadone, buprenorphine, these activate the opiate receptors. So similar to the way opiates like heroin and prescription painkillers do. So by activating these same areas in the brain, they're going to help reduce cravings and withdrawal, but it's not enough to get you high. It might get you or I high. Now, methadone, full opiate agonist, fully activates opiate receptors, buprenorphine partial, so weaker effect. Okay. Opiate antagonist, this is naltrexone. So unlike agonist, the antagonist medications block the receptors. So they prevent the opiates from attaching. They prevent them from producing their effects. So naltrexone, for example, binds to the receptors, blocks the effects of the opiates, reducing the craving. This is going to help prevent relapse. So agonists and antagonists both target opiate receptors, but they have opposite effects in terms of activation. And then with alcohol, a lot of the similar stuff. So finally, the other thing I want to mention is just addressing some of the mental health challenges. So when we look at medication-assisted treatment and addiction, we have to look at the interplay between addiction and also co-occurring mental health disorders, right? So people with addiction often have underlying trauma, abuse in the past, anxiety. As I mentioned a million times, I was using alcohol to treat an anxiety disorder, depression. All these things are going to exacerbate substance use. That's just the way it is. We're trying to fix something. If we had severe trauma at an early age, our brain is wired that way. It's wired for anxiety. It's not releasing the chemicals that it needs, right? Our brains are formed when we're little. And if they're wired for trauma, we're going to see the world very differently. And this is what leads to addiction. And this is why certain medications are helpful. Okay. So medication-assisted treatment can be helpful, but we want to look at different medications depending on the individual's past. Maybe they need an SSRI. That's a selective serotonin reuptake inhibitor. Nice word. Basically, it's giving us more serotonin. And then SNRI, serotonin norepinephrine reuptake inhibitor. This is naltrexone has some of this in it, and this is what's and Wellbutrin, and this is what's going to help with food addiction, with opiate addictions, okay, things like that. So, but they're also helping with depression and anxiety and things like that. And then there's going to be other medications depending on, a lot of people that struggle with addiction also have things like a bipolar. There could be schizophrenia, which is common with alcohol and marijuana. There could be, so they may need like antipsychotic medications and things like that, right? So we want to address both things. What's happening with the person? It's going to be different for everybody. Okay. So that's just a little bit about medication assisted treatment. Again, this is just one piece of the pie. These are some ways to treat addiction, to help individuals come off the substance. That's the ultimate goal. Medication assisted treatment isn't designed to help people stay high, right? It's designed if you work it correctly, if you're using it correctly, along with therapy, along with support groups and things like that. As a Christian, I would say, along with prayer and things like that, it's going to be very effective for you. So we talked about what medication-assisted treatment is. We talked about some of the pros and cons, why medication-assisted treatment is helpful, the types of medications, how they work in the brain. And then we also talked a little bit about addressing the mental health challenges in correlation with the medication-assisted treatment. So I hope this was helpful for you. If you know someone that's struggling with addiction, or maybe their son or daughter is, and you think that this might be helpful for them, send them a link to this episode. If you're interested in being a guest on this program, you can email me, genuinelife@jodiestevens.org, JodieStevens, genuinelife@jodiestevens.org. So thank you so much, friends, for listening, also for watching if you're on YouTube, and God bless you. Thank you so much, friends, for listening to Genuine Life Recovery, playing on your favorite app or on my website at jodiestevens.org. It's JodieStevens, jodiestevens.org. There you can check out my podcast, blog, recovery coaching info, speaking, and more. Check it out.